All right, welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast, everyone. My name is Glenn West, your senior writer here at the site. We've now entered the month of March here, which means that we'll be seeing some NCAA tournament time picking up here. We'll have SEC baseball starting here in a few weeks. We'll have LSU spring practice here starting at the end of the month on March 24th. Lots of different sports will be going on at the same time here over the next couple months. So make sure you guys are tuned in with us, and we'll get back to a more routine schedule here after a few weeks of being off from the podcast. But wanted to hop on here and talk about a couple different topics. Obviously, if you're looking at this on YouTube, or if you're clicking on this on your Spotify or Apple or wherever you find your podcast, the title here kind of speaks for itself in terms of where we're going to start with this thing. I do want to touch on baseball. I do want to touch on a few spring football things here at the end. But our main focus today is going to be on the men's basketball program and kind of the decision at, you know, that looms large there, and kind of what LSU ends up doing to either change the trajectory of the program, keep things the same. We'll kind of dive into a lot of what we've heard over the last several months from Virge Ausberry, the athletic director, certainly how the season has gone here for LSU, and just kind of our overall thoughts on where we think this could go, and just kind of the ultimate decisions that are going to be at play here in deciding the future of the program. So before we get into all that, again, we'd just like to remind you guys, please hit the like and subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, please give us a follow over at Spotify or on Apple if you're listening to us in the car or wherever you might be, tuning into us from. So with that being said, I wanted to hop on and just talk a little bit about kind of this basketball program and just kind of where my thoughts are on this thing as we kind of wind down the regular season. The Tigers will have, two more games this week. They have they're currently 3-13 in conference play. They're 15-14 overall with two more games left here against Auburn and then Texas A&M. And then you've got the SEC tournament next week from March 11th through the 15th. The season has pretty much been decided at this point. If you look at kind of all the rankings and the metrics and all that stuff, there's no viable path, and there really hasn't been a viable path now for several weeks for this program to have any kind of meaningful basketball pass next week. And so naturally, over the last couple of weeks, a lot of the questions come in about what LSU will decide here, and the future of Matt McMahon and the future of the basketball program here. Now you're in year four, you're going on 4 years now of not making the tournament and really not coming close in any of those 4 years either. You had the 1-9-9 season there in conference play where you got an NIT bid, and a lot of stuff would have had to have gone right in that season for you to have an opportunity to potentially be an NCAA tournament bid team. But really, that was as close as LSU has gotten here in the first 4 years of this era. Look, I think at the end of the day, you can point to a lot of different reasons why things just kind of fell off the tracks here at the start of SEC play. Certainly losing Jalen Reed back in November hurt significantly. He was going to be a big front court piece for this program and this team. And then your point guard, Dedon Thomas, who, LSU spent the most NIL resources, the most financial commitment here in bringing in a true point guard for this team, gets hurt right before the start of SEC play. I mean, the day before their first game in SEC play, Thomas gets a foot injury, misses several games there. So LSU starts off slow. And then, of course, comes back and plays a few games. LSU's still not playing very well. He then re-aggravates that injury and has to have surgery and is now out 4 to 5 months. And so, he's pretty much missed the bulk of these games. LSU's 3-13, as we mentioned, through 16 conference games. Thomas has played in, like, I think two games and maybe like a couple minutes of another game. So it was really, just from the start of the new year here, a really bad fortune of missteps misfortune here for LSU. But at the end of the day, the results are the results, and the results are going to be what should dictate a decision like this. But in terms of just what we've been hearing and what a lot of what Virg Ausberry has been saying here recently, and the administration has been saying here recently, it's not as cut and dry as that. Like we're in a situation right now where, you know, 3-13, 15-14 overall, another missed opportunity, another missed year of competing for an NCAA tournament bid. That really is now starting to become a recurring theme here in this era of basketball at LSU, and they're going to have big decisions to make at the end of this thing. And you know, Virg has gone on record here talking about how the preseason goals for this team were very well laid out to Coach McMahon about what they needed to see. They needed to see a real tournament push here. LSU did not make that push. They're going to come up well short of those goals. And so your next question is, okay, well, if the results aren't going to decide this, what will? And I think from an LSU perspective right now, I'm not going to call it a money crunch because it's not a money crunch. You know, if LSU had a viable path forward and had a plan here, which they very well might. I mean, this is nothing set in stone or anything like that, but they right now are in that decision-making process right now of whether or not to run it back another year with Coach McMahon and the staff or make some kind of, you know, secondary changes to the program. While also keeping McMahon on board, or completely tearing it down altogether. And that investment and that financial commitment will be pretty extensive. I mean, you talk about, you know, buying out Matt McMahon and his staff here. Let's just do the numbers real quick. That would be about an $11 million buyout process with, you know, not only Coach McMahon, but also his staff. You'd have to go pay the next coach another probably 10 to 15 in terms of him and his staff coming on board. And then you'd have to go and invest heavily in the roster for this even to all make sense. And so you're talking here about figures that are adding up to, you know, $30, $35 million potentially, even more. I mean, somewhere in that range. So, you know, it's going to be a very major commitment here if LSU wants to go down that path. And I think that is maybe what's giving off some hesitancy right now, because if LSU has a donor base that is willing to front that money and willing to, you know, make these kinds of decisions and make these kinds of changes with the basketball program, I think LSU would be on board with doing that and be very aggressive in doing that. But that is very unclear at the moment in terms of what kind of trees they're going to have to shake to get those that financial buy-in here, especially after what you just paid for the football program, not only to make Brian Kelly go away, but then bring in Lane Kiffin and then pay a roster here that they have never really spent this much money on a roster and never invested this much capital in investing in the football program from a NIL perspective. They've really gone all in this year on adding a elite group of players here that can hopefully compete for a college football playoff. But, you know, those are heavy investments that are being made right now. And so, you know, you have to think about, you know, if you're LSU and if you're Ausberry and you're the administration, just kind of where men's basketball falls on the totem pole here. Like, are you content with, you know, dragging this out another year, with the understanding or the knowledge here that, you know, the certainly the fan investment's not going to be what it needs to be next year. The roster, you'd think LSU gets around the same that they got this year, but probably not anymore to go, you know, expand on their roster this season. So are you just going to treat men's basketball as a sunk cost and just kind of continue to let this contract ride out? Does Matt McMahon, is he able to finally find the right pieces here with another year to potentially get this program back on the right track. Like there's a lot of, factors here that, it's not exactly how, I think LSU would want to draw this up in terms of making these decisions. I think the previous, and, if you go back 5-10 years, the decisions would be pretty easy and pretty cut and dry about what to do about the future of the program here. But with this NIL component now thrown into the mix here and all the investments that's being made with, not only football, but women's basketball and baseball and all these other sports that require, rev share money. But then on top of it, also some NIL piece to this as well. It begs the question here, what else you might do. And, like I said here right at the top, the results should speak for the easy decision that would be made here. If it was just a results-based decision, I don't think Matt McMahon would be long for this job after the season ends. But I do think that there are other factors here that LSU is considering. They are weighing at the moment, and we'll see just kind of how all this plays out. I think the way that I'm currently leaning towards this, as we sit here on March 2nd, with the understanding that things can change very, very quickly, I personally think Matt McMahon has a shot at being back next year. I think the results are what they are. I think that they can certainly use the injury and just having a bunch of your players out as a, I'm not going to say not an excuse, but just as a way to explain why Matt McMahon might be back with the program next year. I think that they have a recruiting class that they're bringing in here. They actually just added another guard named Owen Foxwell, who actually is a pretty good player out of the NBL and in Australia, the professional league out there. He's 22 years old. He's going to be joining this program as well with, you got three other freshman signees. You've got, a retention piece to this that I think if you're not going to be, giving more money to the program, retaining the players that you have on your roster then becomes the next big step and next big goal for LSU if you do keep McMahon on for another season. And I do think that there is some talent to work with here, especially if you get Dedon Thomas back healthy, you bring in this new freshman class, you maybe retain a couple of the young pieces you've been developing this year. But you still are going to have to go into the portal and probably try to add some veterans, some veteran wings, some veteran size on the interior. We've seen this year just how brutal it's been for LSU in the post. They've not only given up a ton of threes, but there just hasn't been much resilience at the rim either. This is probably one of the worst defensive teams in the SEC, and they need to go get some size. They need to get some physicality, that's going to cost. So it's a very tricky situation right now. It's a very fluid situation as well. But like I said, I think that there are ways that LSU can talk themselves back into saying, okay, let's run it back with McMahon for another year. Maybe readdress this thing, a year from now. And I know that's not the answer that many fans probably want to hear. I'm not ruling out certainly that they just do, rip the Band-Aid off and they completely start, over with this program. But that's going to come down to, certainly a willingness, not only on the administration side, which I do think there would be, but on the donor base side as well. And that's the important word here is willingness to spend that money. I don't think that they would have a tough time finding that money. But it's just the willingness of those people to spend that money is going to be the big question here with the future of the men's program. And I couldn't tell you the answer right now. I think we'll have some clarity certainly here in the next couple of weeks. You've seen here recently some of the big donor bases, the Our Lady of the Lake, Kuiper, he's come out and he's kind of put a message out on social media of support of Matt McMahon and the program and Our Lady of the Lake and that whole that enterprise there, I guess, of has been a huge benefactor of the men's basketball program and certainly of LSU athletics here as one of their biggest sponsors. He's going to be a very influential voice in all this. He was part of the search committee that went out and got you Lane Kiffin. So, I wouldn't be surprised if there are other messages like that that are posted from big benefactors around, and big donors around the Baton Rouge area here in the weeks and days ahead. But I do think that there is, maybe from a few weeks ago to now, there's probably more of a appetite towards bringing Matt McMahon back than there was, you know, when this losing streak really started. And, you know, certainly the fan base here for the men's basketball program started to dwindle, and the apathy has started to set in on this season. You can certainly feel it when you're in the PMAC. We talked to Max McKinnon and a couple other players here in the last couple weeks, and, you know, McKinnon here basically point blank said on Saturday, like, you know, there, a reason that LSU, and this is not a fault or a shot at the LSU fans, but a reason that, you know, some of these lopsided affairs have happened on their home floor as opposed to being on the road, has been because they can kind of feel the lack of energy in that building right now. And again, it's not a shot at the program or a shot at the fan base, because, you know, the fan base is very right in their thinking on this. They are seeing what's going on right now with this program, and they're not happy. And, you know, there needs to be some kind of level of change here. I don't know that it reaches the top level with McMahon, but certainly could see some changes in other parts of this program. And, you know, I you know, would probably go out on a limb here to say that they won't have the same kind of financial commitment, or I should say not, maybe they'll get the same kind of financial commitment, but not an increased level of financial commitment here for this roster. So they've got to be very smart about the way that they go about, you know, building this thing and trying to find ways to have a successful season, or to at least, you know, look a little bit more competitive than they have been here in these first 4 years under McMahon. So it's not an easy decision. If LSU can find the money, I think you will see some change here, and you will see probably a big change if LSU is able to coerce or convince the right person to come take this job. But another part of this that kind of has to be talked about a little bit is, like, who would LSU realistically be able to go after? And I know the first person on everyone's mind here is Will Wade. I think that is a name that carries a lot of weight right now with the current administration. When you talk about President Wade Roos, who was just at McNeese with Will Wade for 2 years, they have a very close relationship. They have, you know, the head of the Board of Supervisors right now, Lee Mallett, is very close to Will Wade as well, from their time at McNeese and just the relationships they have. So there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a big push here if LSU does make that change to be aggressive and go out and try to find somebody like that. I think at the end of the day, that's going to be a decision that Will Wade's going to have to make, and he's in a great spot right now with NC State in terms of, you know, they're going to be an NCAA tournament team this year. They're top four in the ACC. They have also a very heavy commitment in their program on basketball. And so, you know, LSU is going to have to promise him the moon and the stars here to even, I think, entertain a conversation. And so we'll see kind of what happens there. If the first move here is to move on from Matt McMahon and this staff and try to usher in a new era, I would imagine Will Wade is one of the first calls it's made. But, you know, him taking a call and him actually entertaining an offer, I think, are wildly different things. And if I had to put my money on it, I would bet that that doesn't happen. But and then, you know, you kind of go down the list here and you say, okay, well, if we're going to make all this change for Matt McMahon and to get rid of Matt McMahon and his staff, what kind of move can we make here outside of Will Wade that would bring the kind of excitement back into the fan base and, you know, the overall, you know, engagement back with, you know, this program? And I don't know that there's a clear answer out there. I haven't heard of any names or anything like that. I don't think that that's something that, you know, I think that's another angle here to consider in terms of what LSU decides to do with Matt McMahon. Because if it's not Will Wade that you're replacing him with, what other coach's name out there really kind of, you know, fires the people up to kind of rally behind the program and rally behind the investment of the roster and the investment of the staff and everything like that. So, you know, it's a very interesting decision, a very interesting time right now with the program for men's basketball. Like I said, I do think that right now I'm leaning towards probably McMahon being back for next season. And there probably being some kind of ancillary changes to the program, some secondary changes to the program. But at the end of the day, that's a decision that, you know, the administration and Virge Ausberry and you know, certainly this donor base are going to have to collectively make. And I'm not ruling anything out, but that's just kind of where I sit right now on the future of the men's basketball program. It sends, you know, if you do retain McMahon, it sends a message that, you know, quite frankly, you're just kind of punting on this thing here. You're hoping that they can finally figure it out instead of me, you know, making active change to the program. You're just kind of hoping that things get better instead of being proactive in this thing. And you know, look, it could, you know, a year from now, things could certainly be different. And we could look back on this and say that, you know, LSU, you know, did or didn't make the right call. I think all that's still very much up for debate right now. But, you know, McMahon's the future of the basketball program is certainly going to be something that weighs heavily on LSU here in the coming weeks and the weeks ahead. So that's pretty much all I have from a men's basketball perspective. I did just kind of quickly want to touch on the baseball side of things as well. LSU obviously is now, you know, they're 11-1 in the season. They're rolling here 3 weeks in, and have a couple more weeks here of non-conference play before they start up, with SEC play. But, you know, look, I think everybody here wants to listen and hear about the offense right now. Offense was great for 2 weeks there. They did a really nice job coming out of the gates really, really quickly and doing the right things at the plate. This week has been a different story. They batted these last four games here. I have a team average of 188. They scored 17 total runs just a week after scoring 34 runs in Jacksonville. So they're certainly going through it right now. These offensive lulls happen. You know, there's going to be, you know, certainly a lot of things that they're working on internally right now. We asked Jake Brown about it yesterday. One of the intricate things that he did kind of fill us in on was just the fastballs that they are swinging at right now. They're just getting under them a little bit too much, and it's causing a lot of pop flyouts. And so he's somebody that, you know, has been really, really good for LSU this season. But, you know, a lot of their misses have been, you know, on the fastball, and that they're, you know, popping out a little bit too much right now. And so they're working every day. You know, Jay Johnson told us yesterday that, you know, after the Saturday game, for example, Stephen Milam, Zach York were in the cages at 9:30 at night trying to get some stuff figured out. And, you know, they'll continue to work on things here as they continue to play games. They're going to have another team practice here Monday morning before they enter into their pregame warmups for tonight's game on Monday. They'll play Northeastern one more time here on Monday, and then on Wednesday they'll go to Lafayette and play ULL Lafayette. So you know, it's an interesting time right now for the baseball team. The pitching staff's looking great. They're doing their job here. William Schmidt and Cooper Moore in particular look fantastic. You know, Devin Sheeran doing his job out of the bullpen. Gavin Guidry doing his job out of the bullpen. They've only had to use 7 or 8 pitchers here over the last 3 days, so they have a pretty full complement of staff that they can use here over the next couple games. And then they've got Sacramento State this weekend, and then they start SEC play the next week. So, you know, they've got a lot that they need to figure out offensively at the plate before they play at Vanderbilt here on March 13th. But they've got some time, and they've got the pieces. And I think that's the big thing here, is that they've got the players. You know, one of the things Jay Johnson told us yesterday was just like, I know what a lot of the players who are struggling right now can do for us. You know, you look at Derek Curiel, Stephen Milam, Zach York, Jake Brown. Those are kind of your core four guys. I think that LSU's really kind of settled in on are going to have to lead this offense. They went a combined 10 of 52 at the plate here over the previous four games. That's under 200. They batted under 200 this week. That's not going to be a sustainable thing for them. Like they're not going to bat 200 for the rest of the season. This is just an off week for those guys. They certainly understand that they have some work they have to do. They got to get back to, you know, getting back into their game plan. You know, in the Sunday game, they only drew three free passes as an offense, and I think they struck out nine times. That's just not the model that they have been that they've been taught and that they have been practicing here over the last 4 years as an offense. So there's some work to do with baseball, but those guys are going to be fine in the long run. I don't have any long-term concerns about them as they kind of maneuver their way through the rest of this non-conference schedule and into SEC play. We'll certainly keep everybody up to date on all the updates there. They're going to be fine though. I have no doubt about that. So you move on to football here now. Spring football starts up here in about 3 weeks. March 24th is when the Tigers take the field for the first time under Lane Kiffin. We're going to have a ton of pre-spring content coming out for you guys over the next several weeks. There's articles being written daily, weekly, if not daily, about Lane Kiffin and this off season and just kind of where LSU is trending, and just the expectations of this team are going to be sky high. You know, they spent a lot of money on this roster. They spent a lot of money on this coaching staff to come in and make this a quick fix and make this a team that can compete at the highest level. And I think LSU is going to be right there, you know, in terms of just the off-season engagement and just the hype around this program is going to be at a very, very all-time high level. And that makes you very excited, of course, for the fall, but there's certainly a lot of work to be done between now and then. So we'll have all those updates for you guys here over at the site. I appreciate you listening today, and we'll be back with you guys, you know, probably next week. But in the meantime, thanks for watching and listening to the Go 24/7 podcast.
What's the mission?
This is a manhunt, killer capture.
The critically acclaimed series, The Agency, is back. Streaming June 21st on Paramount Plus.
We got a mole. I want him smoked out.
Starring Michael Fassbender.
The agency is cleaning house.
Jeffrey Wright.
Proceed with caution.
Jodie Turner Smith.
You are not the good guys.
And Richard Gere.
Trust no one, not even me.
The Agency, all episodes streaming June 21st, only on Paramount Plus.